Hail Halifax, this is Randy Kress, and you're listening to Mutants on Parade on 88.1 FM CKDU. Tonight's show, like all episodes of Mutants on Parade, might contain some songs with issues or language some people might not be comfortable with, but I recommend you listen anyway because it's all cool music, all relevant issues, and you might hear something cool and learn something new. Like always, the request number tonight is open. The number is 494-2487. Stay tuned for a wild ride of crazy metal right here on CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax. Yes, that's right, Halifax. You are listening to Mutants on Parade right here on CKDU 88.1 FM. My name is, of course, Randy Kress, and tonight is the Fuck a Fax special, tentatively titled Whisper Dependency, because it's when the cool plays on words. So, yep, like I just said, this week is dedicated to the Gatineau band Fuck the Fax on Relapse Records, or from, I don't know what the proper word to use there is. 2 weeks ago, I did an interview with Topon Das, the guitar player slash everything guy of the band over here in the CKDU Project studio, and it turned out to be all put together 40 minutes, and I decided instead of just chopping up on two shows and having to do a recap for one, I'm doing both. I'm playing both tonight, and I'm going to play you off track of their latest CD, if you don't count the one that comes out in a couple weeks. The CD is Stigmata High Five, and the first track is called La Dernière Image. And that's it tonight. Fuck the Fax all night long. 494-2487, you want to call and, I guess, talk and, you know, say how good the show is going, or the opposite. You can add me on MSN at mutantsonparade@hotmail.com, so I'll be back for a bit and tell you more about the band.
Oh,
Okay, yes, and we're back. I have to point out that wasn't the song, the Daniel Mage, that we heard, because that one didn't actually quite work. What we heard was Ballet Addict, which was off their Stigmata, sorry, off the Backstabber Etiquette CD. Oh, I'll get that track to work later. So, just so you know, Fuck the Facts was started in the late 1990s as a recording project by Topan Das. After many early recordings, including split tapes with SMES and Mastacoma, Fuck the Facts started developing a name in the underground with grind and noise fans alike worldwide. In 2000, the first full-length CD titled Discoing the Dead was released and later re-released by Black Hole Productions. The positive feedback led to Topan assembling a full-time band to continue with the project in early 2001. Now with Matt Connell on drums, who later joined Exhumed, Tim Odette on guitar, Brent Christoph on vocals, and Topan on guitar, the band brought their extreme style to a live setting. In fall of 2001, the band will record their second full-length CD, Mullet Fever, which is available on Sonic Deadline Records, which included material for 7-inch with Catastrat and Zaz and Arthropod. Following the recording, Brent decided to leave because he was unable to continue with the band, quickly replaced by Mel Morgion. In 2002, the band had enough material to record their next full-length CD, which was Backstabber Etiquette, which we heard a track of it, and it was released on Great White North Records, Grindcore sub-label Grind It Records, and a split 7-inch with Sylvester Stallone for Anvil of Fury Records. These new recordings showed a new maturity without giving into the trends of the time. The band also made time to tour through Ontario with Montreal's Galunatics and make it out to Winnipeg and play the annual Arson Fest. Now developing a wider range of listeners, the band started working harder and playing more often. This included a December tour through the Maritimes. This would lead to the departure of Tim Odette, who would do his last tour through the Canadian East Coast with the band in June 2003, which is when they came here and played at the Cayley Connection. If all you remember that. As a three-piece, the band recorded material for a split CD with Feeble Minded on Grodhazen Productions, which showcased the leaps the band have made in musicianship and songwriting. Not to be held back, the band toured the U.S. in August with Malefaction as a trio. Upon return, it didn't take long for FTF, as they're known to the fans, to find their new guitarist in Dave Menard. New blood brought inspiration to the group. In late 2003, FTF completed recording a split CD with Sergeant Slaughter on Undecent Records. The quartet started incorporating more metal into their sound with experimental approach. Matt then decided he would have to part with the band. But just before leaving, they recorded three songs with FTF in spring of 2004 for the split with Subcut on Bucho Disc. Luckily, a replacement was quickly found in Tim Olson. And at the same time, the band enlisted bassist Marc-André Morgion. Fuck the Facts, wasted no time getting back together. And within a month, back playing live, including a two-week tour across Canada with Head Heat Hits Concrete in summer 2004. In the fall, FTF recorded six new songs, which was self-released as the Legacy of Hopelessness CD EP, for a more experimental release than the ones before. The recording, minus the two enhanced bonus tracks, was released in Europe through Privilege to Fail Records on a split CD with Narcosis, Midget Parade, and Archer. By spring 2005, the regular shows and touring proved too much for Dave and Mark, so it was decided that it would be best for them to step down before summer touring would begin. Not wanting to jump the gun, FTF took the step to enlist full-time members Mathieu Villand, guitar, and Steve Charentier on bass. With only a couple of weeks of practice, they hit the stage again in July 2005. FTF embarked on a month-long tour of Canada in support of Legacy of Hopelessness, traveling from Sydney, Nova Scotia, to Vancouver, BC, and back home to Gatineau. Upon return, Mathieu Villand and Steve Charney were brought into the band as permanent members. In October 2005, they recorded a two-song pre-production demo of the material that would be on their new full-length, the two songs The Wrecking and Taken from the Nest, recorded by ex-drummer Matt Connell at the band's rehearsal space and used to show people what was to come and was shopped around to different labels. The rest of the year was spent finishing the record and preparing the album to record. The new year led to another lineup change. Then drummer Till Olsen was asked to leave the band. Mathieu Villand, henceforth known as Vil, who was already in the band as a guitar and filled in many times as a drummer, was now moved to the permanent drummer. In February 2006, they entered Studio En Phase in Montreal to record the full-length album Sigma at High Five. Soon after recording, the band was contacted and secured a deal with Relapse, which is great because if you remember from the interview last year, actually I'm going to play a clip of this. Soon after they recorded Sigma at High Five, GWN Records went belly up. And actually the last thing they ever put out was the collection of splits, 2002-2004, which featured remastered versions of the recordings the band had done for the splits between Backstabber Etiquette and Legacy of Hopelessness, which Topon himself described as the best stuff the band ever put out. In case you're wondering, I first interviewed Topon of FTF in February 2007, a mere weeks before they were to play here in Halifax at the Attic. As it is my usual modus operandi to interview bands that are coming to town, a lot of people have been asking me if Fuck the Facts are playing here soon, and the answer is no, they have no plans to play here right now. Nothing's even been discussed, but rest assured that they love playing here. In fact, it's right there in their official Relapse Records bio. They mentioned the Maritimes twice, so that means they love playing here. They do, however, have a new CD coming out on Relapse Records. In fact, it's on July 22nd, which, marking your calendars, is the day after my birthday, so it would make a perfect present. It's named Disgorge Mexico. I should tell you, I've known Topon for many years now. We met trading shows for our respective bands, and I like to get in touch with him and touch base every now and then. So, basically, it's just a way for me to contact a friend through free long distance. Also, a lot of changes happened to Fuck the Facts, who are about to release their big label follow-up or sophomore CD, which is usually what makes or breaks a band. In this case, it will certainly make them bigger. Now, it is, the name of their CD is called Disgorge Mexico, which is named after a band from Mexico called Disgorge. And there was two bands at the same time called Disgorge. One was from California, one was from Mexico. And neither of them actually owned the copyright on the name, because that's just not what you do when you're an underground metal band. It's not economically realistic. So when you're referring to two of them, one's Disgorge, and one's Disgorge US, and one's Disgorge Mexico. In case you're wondering what they sound like, I'm going to play you something by them. They're probably one of the premier or first, I can use both meanings of that word, one of the premier gore grind or pathological gore grind bands. And we're going to hear by them is Rancid Bowel Sarcona. And then more, me talking about Fuck the Facts.
Oh, Satan!
Hello, my favorite demon followers. Let there be devil music!
Welcome to hell! You're gonna burn in there! You're gonna...
Yes, okay, we're back. Welcome to hell, my favorite demon followers. Yeah, that was Disgorge Mexico with their song Rancid Bowel Sarcoma off their disgusting Corporal Infest or CD, which is disgusting. For the longest time, I had it in my house and I would hide the cover because it completely grossed me out. As we used to say in the 80s, it was grody to the max. So, like I mentioned, I interviewed Topon a year ago. And so this is more of a follow-up interview. Last year, I did a more in-depth, thorough interview. In fact, I'm going to play you a clip from it, from the interview last year. It starts after I asked him if Fuck the Facts was a political band, if it's a political name, and do they ever face a backlash for having a mixed-gender slash mixed-race band, and what changes did they see now that they're on Relapse Records? So let's listen to that now, and you'll hear me back live.
You know, when I first thought of the name, it was more in reference to our musical approach, but mm-hmm. I could totally see people taking it as a political thing. And, you know, when I started the band, like, you know, when I was a lot younger, I did have way more political style lyrics, just because that was what I was really interested in. And, you know, we do kind of have that in our lyrics now. You know, there's things that we feel strongly about. And we want to sing about it, but I wouldn't say that we're, you know, a straight-up political band, you know. We throw some of our ideas out there, you know. We think, you know, we're like, hey, this is kind of what we think, you know. Mm-hmm. If you agree, cool. If you don't, like, no worries. Like, you know, mainly it comes down to the music, you know. That's our main concern, you know, to write good music and, you know, have lyrics at the same time, you know, they're, like I said, at least a good story or mean something, you know. They're not just words there to fill out vocal patterns. You know, we do spend a lot of time on the lyrics, but there isn't always a political agenda involved with them. You know, I could see, you know, a lot of our audiences, you know, we have a lot of punks that come out to our shows, you know, easily about. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's definitely people out there that are going to write us off right away because we have a female singer. You know, people are just like, I don't like female singers. I'm not going to listen to it. And, you know, at the same time, there's definitely people out there that are going to get into our band just because we have a female singer, you know? So, it's shit that's totally out of our control. You know, Mel's been in the band for, you know, 5 years. When we got her in the band, initially, it wasn't because, you know, here's a girl, this is going to be awesome for us, we're going to get, you know, all these new fans with the girl singer. We did shows with her old band, and we're like, she's got an awesome voice. You know, that's really what we wanted in the band, so that's why she's there, you know. And, you know, as far as backlash and anything, you know, for, you know, everything we do, there's always some people that are like, you know, happy for us or agree with us or, you know, and other people that just, you know, aren't happy about what's going on with us and will write us off because of it. You know, not that we're really at any sort of big level at all, but we kind of are at a spot where, you know, when we do stuff, people hear about it, you know. It'll get posted on little, like, you know, metal news sites or, you know, message boards and stuff like that. Whether we want it there or not, you know, we don't have control over this. Like, we never go out and actually send these sites our news or anything. You know, this shit just ends out there. Because of that, you know, people are going to hear about you, and, you know, there's going to be good response and bad response. You know, it's cool, you know, that people, you know, pay attention to what we're doing, and, you know, we're getting, you know, press, and, you know, it's good for us. I try not to think about, you know, that stuff too much. Like I said, we just do what we do, and we don't worry about it. But yeah, like things like Relapse, you know, like a lot of kids know us from, you know, when I started this band and I was releasing like split cassettes and stuff. And, you know, I think it's cool. Like, I'm super hyped that I did that back then. But, you know, the band kind of has to evolve in a way. I don't feel like really, you know, dubbing cassettes anymore in my bedroom. You know, I just don't have the time to do it. And it's not because I don't think that that shit isn't cool. I think it's awesome, you know, that kids are still, like, you know, making CDRs and tapes and getting their music out there, but I just don't have the time to do it anymore. And, you know, we're at a point where, you know, we're happy to, like, spend more time on our music and, you know, make sure it's done properly. So, but yeah, some kids don't like that shit. You know, even just recently, like, you know, we just put up, like, a video that a friend of ours made for us. And it was nothing even big. Like, this is just a friend of ours from Ontario made it for us for free that, you know, studied in this stuff and, you know, had some really good gear. But even from that, some kids are like, ah, fuck, you guys are making a video that's gay and all this shit. It's like, dude, it's like, there's just such a fine line that, you know, I guess you're not supposed to cross, or I don't even know what it is. Yeah. Everything we do in this band is still, like, extremely DIY. Like, I still do, you know, at least 95% of our booking, you know, all the merchandise that we do, we make it ourselves. Like, we don't have a manager or a booking agent or anything like that. You know, we're still extremely DIY, and, you know, we're really happy to be doing it that way just because it's the best way to do it for a band like us. So, yeah, I don't even know why, you know, some people freak out because they think that, you know, we're doing this for the money. And I think if you think that, you know, a grindcore band called Fuck the Facts is making money, then, yeah, then you probably have other issues to deal with.
Yeah, we're back. So that was a little excerpt of last year's interview I did with Topan. I think it's pretty good summing up of his band. I think it's kind of cool that he did that right there. So that's, in my mind, the best part of that interview that shows you what the band's about. And then the other cool thing that happened in this interview is I asked him about writing on the road. Well, their new CD was written and compiled on a 2-week road trip from Hull/Gatineau/Ottawa down to Mexico and back. And they said they had riffs, a bunch of riff tapes that they played on the cassette deck the entire time and, like, worked out songs in people's jam spots. So that's kind of cool. So let's listen to the clip of that interview there, which I also inserted in this year's interview, which I'm going to play tonight. So we'll listen first so you can understand what I'm talking about, and we'll be right back. We'll hear another couple of old Fuck the Facts song and back into this year's interview.
Songs on the road, then, since you're on the road so much.
No. Damn it. I keep meaning to. It's one of those things that I've always wanted to do, and I keep trying to, but for some reason it just never works out. You know, I bought, like, a laptop and everything, and I had this whole kind of, like, system together, but I don't know, man. It's hard. You know, it's weird because there's so much downtime in touring. You're sitting in the van all day, and then you're sitting at the venue all day, but for some reason, it's hard to get motivated to do all those things. So we still do, like, most of our writing at home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when we're, you know, just at rehearsals. And it's worked out well. Like, we basically have what's going to be our next album written now. We're kind of just fine-tuning everything and, you know, making a few changes. And we're going to go record that one, I think, in August is what we have planned.
Oh, yeah. Any idea when it should come out? Probably next year or something?
Yeah, probably early-ish 2008.
Okay, so another classic Fuck the Facts song, Running Out of Time from Mullet Fever, I do believe. So that was the clip that I was going to insert in the coming interview, which is coming up actually right next. In the first part of the interview, I asked him about changes in the band since the last we spoke. Plus, I brought up the whole Riding on the Road clip, which I just played you. By the way, all the silliness you hear me ask him about in the first question was referring to all these crazy stories they talked about in one of the tour diaries on their MySpace page. And there you go. And by the way, at the end, actually at the beginning and the end, it's sandwiched in a new song off the new album, which is No Place for Failure, and it's worth listening in. So let's listen to that. 2008, July 2008, Fuck the Facts interview on Mutant Sound Parade. It's Randy Crust. I'm joined on the phone by Top On Das of Fuck the Facts.
Hello.
So, from voodoo curses to riots and decapitating people with cymbals and playing with Christina Aguilera, a lot has happened to Fuck the Facts since the last time we have spoke. Can you give us an update on the band and what the current lineup is and everything?
Yeah, I guess it has been a while, eh? I forgot about all that crazy stuff that happened.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened.
Kind of push most of it out of my memory.
Yeah.
yeah. I guess okay. The current lineup, I guess, would be myself, Mel, our singer, and Phil, our drummer. Basically, the three of us are members of the band, but we also have like a touring bass player and a touring second guitarist right now.
Okay, so you guys—it's only three of you. That's the official lineup.
Yeah, we're just three in the band now, but we got, like, a couple of guys. We have the same bass player. I don't know, probably even some people out there in Halifax remember a band called Tugnut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We got the bass player from that band that's been actually touring with us since December. Actually, January is when we started playing shows, but he's been playing with us since December. And we got the guitar player right now from a band in Guelph called Drudgery, who did the last tour with us just in June, went out west with Naraxis, and he's going to be doing some U.S. shows we have coming up.
Following your internet messages, it seems like Fuck the Facts almost split up last year. What exactly brought that about?
Yeah, like I wouldn't say that we almost split up. There was never any talk of breaking up or ending the band or anything. It basically just from all the touring, I guess mainly all the touring. Like for the last album, Stigmata High Five, we were fucking on the road, like pretty nonstop, just coming home for maybe a couple of weeks at a time,
mm-hmm.
At the most, and then going back on some tour. So basically. We did that for over a year and then came back home and jumped right into, finishing writing the album and then, like, a month later, right into the studio. So it was kind of, like, nonstop. And we had 11 days in the studio to record our new album. And we didn't manage to get everything done. We basically just tracked all the music and weren't able to do the vocals, and kind of after we got out of the studio, everyone was just fucking exhausted and burnt out, and we kind of just said, let's take a break for a while, let's kind of just, like, you know, not worry about all this stuff and the band and everything. We'll just go and do our own thing and chill out. And that's basically what we did. And then a couple of months later, we started, like, emailing each other again and calling. And in November, we recorded the vocals for the album. So we finished up all the recording, sent that all off to the guy that was producing the album and engineering it. And I guess around the end of November, we started jamming again, getting ready to play shows in January.
Oh, yeah. So how was that first show after the hiatus? Did it seem a little bit awkward, or did it just seem natural back to
which was... It was fucking exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember, I was like, oh, my God. Like, it literally, like, we didn't play a show from June 2007 until January 2008, and that's, like, the longest break that, you know, we've had for shows since, like, the beginning of this band, since we started playing shows in, like, 2001. So, in, like, 7 years, that was the longest break, you know, that we've ever had from playing shows. And, you know, this is the only play that anyone in the band plays in live. So, you know, none of us had fucking been on stage in that whole period. And I can remember after that first show, it was in Hamilton, fucking wanting to just pass out, like, right away as soon as I was done. I just wanted to, like, fucking go to sleep. I was thinking, man, maybe I'm getting too old for this shit. But the next night was a lot better. It was a lot more business as usual. So I think now we're back on track. We've done a bunch of shows since then. So it's more back to, like, how we're used to doing it.
Oh, yeah. So tell us about your new CD. This is going to be your second for Relapse. And how does it differ from your past releases, both in musical terms or on the way it was received? Like, any reactions to it? That's what I meant.
Okay. That was a different... I guess, you know, it's a different album. Like, the approach to writing was probably a bit different, too. Before Stigmata High Five, there were a lot of ideas, you know, from past members we went through, like, right before we went into the studio. We kind of, like, you know, parted ways with our drummer, and, you know, we had recently parted ways with, like, another guitar player that had somewhat in the album as well. So, you know, it was a bit different in that way. For Disgorge, like, it's me and Vil, our drummer, that have been there for a long time now. So we're kind of used to jamming together, and the album came about pretty much just us getting together and, you know, I don't know, I guess beating out ideas and putting it all together. So, I don't know. It's definitely different. I think we kind of grabbed a lot more influences this time around. I think there's a few, you know, different things that we never did before that we're kind of trying out and kind of turned out pretty cool. And, you know, the length of the songs, like, really varies. You have, like, a song that's 30 seconds and another song that's, like, almost 10 minutes. So there's a lot wider of a range. And I think it's, you know, like, I'm super happy with the way the album came out. And I think, I don't know. I think it sounds really good. I think it sounds a lot more together, like, just as a band kind of playing. It's the sound-wise, too, is a lot more what we sound like live as opposed to, you know, a lot of different little studio tricks.
Oh, okay. So, I remember I was listening to this while I was waiting for the call. I was listening to a bit of the interview we did last year. I believe it must have been 2007. I guess that was last year. And I asked you if you ever wrote songs on the road, and the answer was along the lines of, no, but I so want to. And it also said that you had most of a new album recorded or written, and that was going to come out sometime this year. Is this album the album you're talking about then?
You guys must write songs on the road then, since you're on the road so much.
No. Damn it. I keep meaning to. It's one of those things that I've always wanted to do, and I keep trying to, but for some reason it just never works out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bought, like, a laptop and everything, and I had this whole kind of, like, system together, but I don't know, man. It's hard. You know, it's weird because there's so much downtime. in touring, you're sitting in the van all day, and then you're sitting at the venue all day, but for some reason, it's hard to get motivated to do all those things. So we still do, like, most of our writing at home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when we're, you know, just at rehearsals. And it's worked out well. Like, we basically have what's going to be our next album written now. We're kind of just fine-tuning everything and, you know, making a few changes. And we're going to go record that one, I think, in August is what we have planned.
Oh, yeah. Any idea when it should come out? Probably next year or something?
Yeah, probably early-ish 2008.
So I remember I was listening to this while I was waiting for the calls, listening to a bit of the interview we did last year. I believe it must have been 2007. I guess that was last year. And I asked you if you ever wrote songs on the road, and your answer was along the lines of, no, but I so want to. And it also said that you had most of a new album recorded or written, and that was going to come out sometime this year. Is this album the album you're talking about then?
Yeah. Well, like, you know, when we went into the studio to record this album, like, the idea was that this whole album was going to be done and recorded by the end of August, or I guess, you know, sometime in September at the latest, with the mix and the master and everything. And, you know, like I said, because we took a break for a while, and then we came back to the album, and at that point, right after we were done recording, the guy that engineered it and the guy that was, you know, doing all the mix and the master and everything, he lives in Winnipeg, so we had to deal with the process of him sending us mixes, you know, via email, us checking it out and changing thing, and, like, you know, it gets dragged out a lot more than if we all would have been kind of sitting in the same room for a few days together. So yeah, that album that I mentioned before was this one, and we were hoping to get it out a lot earlier, but the circumstances made it kind of get pushed back. Like, we didn't actually finalize the album until, like, March of this year.
Oh, okay. So what's the story with the 2-week road trip to Mexico?
Yeah, so I guess I totally actually forgot that I mentioned that in that last interview, that I would like to write on the road, because I guess it kind of did happen. It's not, had, like I said before, we had, like, tons of, like, different ideas and lots of riffs and, you know, parts of songs already just on, like, jam tapes that we had made at our rehearsal spot. So we basically just brought a whole, like, milk crate of fucking tapes and ideas and a 4-track recorder and pretty much a few things and kind of just went on the road. Doing a kind of, like, a road trip for 2 weeks down to Mexico and back, and used that time also with the help of some friends that we have in the States that, you know, gave us places to jam and stay and stuff like that. We used that time to kind of piece together all of our ideas for the album and pretty much finalize all the songs.
So you just, like, practiced the songs and worked out the riffs in other people's jam spots along the road?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that a nightmare to plan, or just, like, friends of yours and drop by and, like, retain your jam spot?
It wasn't that bad to plan. It kind of worked out all right. Like, it's actually a lot easier than actually touring, because you don't have to worry about showing up at a show at a certain time and load-ins and, you know, all being on stage and all this stuff. You kind of just, it's a lot looser of a schedule, so it's not that bad.
Okay, so why the title Disgorge Mexico? Like, the way I see it, Disgorge set the standard for gore, brutality, and unpronounceable titles. Is this your album in that same vein, or is it just a joke on the title?
It's definitely a tongue-in-cheek kind of joke, because, you know, we definitely know about the band. You know, I knew who the band was, and I never really listened to them a lot before, but our Bill is actually, you know, really into Disgorge from Mexico. So he was familiar with the band, like, and all their songs and shit, so but it mainly came across with the idea of the whole road trip, you know, of us traveling and kind of, I guess, you know, being away from home and then coming back and kind of, like, I guess, disgorging all this this shit back into Canada, all this stuff that we've kind of we built up. And yeah, definitely, you know, we know about the band, and we kind of took our idea for what the album was and took that band's name and kind of, I guess, made it like a tongue-in-cheek kind of joke with it.
Okay. Have you contacted the band, Disgorge, about it? And you know what they think about it?
I have no idea what they think about it, but they actually did contact us.
Oh, yes.
Really shortly after we announced that we had a new album coming out and that it was called Disgorge Mexico, they sent us a message, really not even mentioning that at all, simply saying that they wanted to come and play in Canada and do some tours up here, and if we could help them out and stuff. And we had a couple of exchanges back and forth with them, you know.
That'd be awesome, like the Disgorge Mexico tour featuring Disgorge Mexico.
You know, if it was something we could do, like we, and that's kind of what we were discussing, was like, you know, we know some people, we could see what we could work out, but I don't know, they just stopped writing us after a while.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if maybe they figured out about our album title and maybe they got mad then or something, but I really doubt it. You know, it's definitely not meant as a shot to anyone. You know, in a bad way, and I don't think that they would take it that way.
Yeah. So, being a constantly touring band, what is the biggest difference you find between Canada and the U.S., touring and, like, culturally?
Man, I don't know. Like, we haven't been in, like, it's, like, over a year now since we've toured in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have a really shitty memory, so I'm trying to remember. You know, in general, there's not, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, everyone looks the same everywhere. In general, venues all the same everywhere you go in North America. So I wouldn't say there's a huge difference. Like, in general, from touring, for us, Canada is a bit better. From show to show, it's a bit more consistent for us than the States is. I think there's maybe a lot more bands touring in the States. I guess, you know, they have such a bigger population that, you know, there's so many more bands down there that it's maybe a bit harder to get in there. But you know, overall, like, I don't see there's not really any huge differences. Like, we have a lot of fun touring in the States, and like I said, you know, we've lots of really cool people that have helped us out tremendously in every aspect, you know, in the States and up here. So, you know, I haven't noticed any huge differences.
Okay. Now, have you actually played Mexico?
No.
Have you played outside of North America yet?
No, we haven't been outside of North America. We really want to go to Europe. We're kind of trying to plan that out so that hopefully sometime we can get to Europe in, like, sometime 2009. So yeah, that's pretty much what we got going on right now. It's just that we're trying to get to Europe.
Yeah,
then, because yeah, we'd never been, and you know, now it's getting kind of ridiculous. Like, the band has been around for, you know, like 7 years, and we've still never gone outside of North America.
Mm-hmm. You guys play any big festivals?
No, not this year. Last year we played the Maryland Death Fest. I think that was last year. Yeah, that was last year. Last year we played Maryland Death Fest, and that's probably the biggest show I think we've ever played as a band. So that was pretty fucking awesome. And we've done some of the fests. I think last year we did, or that was the year before. God, I can't remember. We did that Toy UVI Metal Fest.
That's great.
And yeah, that's usually pretty cool as well. But I think Maryland was one of the highlights. You know, not only was the show huge, there's tons of people, but we met, like, lots of really awesome bands. We got to see some fucking awesome bands that you don't normally get to see. You know, a lot of bands from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Who was a headliner, you remember?
Yeah, it was Brutal Truth.
Oh, yes.
Brutal Truth, one night.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynic was supposed to be the headliner the other night, but it ended up being Zyklon, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Have you guys discovered any hidden gems touring? I mean, like, an isolated, out-of-the-way town with amazing scene that makes the show worth the ridiculous drive? Kind of like Rimouski or, like, what we want Halifax to be?
I don't know. If there's one thing I've learned from touring, it's, like, don't count on anything.
Oh, okay.
I think you can go and play some town and it will be, like, fucking retarded. You know, with like 200 kids going mental, and you know, you could go back next year and there could be, you know, 30 kids. So that's, if there's anything I've learned, it's like, you know, don't count on anything. And you know, I guess if doing stuff without like expectations, you're never gonna get disappointed. So that's probably, I would say that's probably the safest thing to do.